is the Tactical Nutrition and Performance Podcast. I'm Susan Lopez, Tactical Dietitian, and I am here to help you elevate your performance through better nutrition programming, bridging the gap between knowledge and application to help support the athlete with no off-season. We are going to talk about everything from macros to stress to sleep and more. I will be bringing over a decade of nutrition know-how and experience and introducing you to experts in the tactical performance realm. If you are ready to take your health and performance to the next level and you need information that is relevant and right for you, then you are in the right place. Let's get the show started. So in today's episode, we are going to talk about macronutrients, and specifically, we're going to be talking about carbohydrates. Now, you might think that you know all there is to know about carbohydrates, and with all of the information out there on the internet, it's probably a good bet that you've done a lot of your own research and that you have a really good basic understanding of this really important macronutrient. But today, the goal is to help you get a better or deeper understanding of what carbohydrates really are, how they can benefit you, and how you should be using them appropriately for performance. We're also going to talk about why carbohydrates always seem to have such a bad reputation. And I really believe that this comes from not really having that deep level of understanding that you need to utilize carbohydrates appropriately for performance. And that is also what we're going to be covering today, is what specific types of carbohydrates, and we're going to talk a little bit about quantity of carbohydrates that you should be taking in to help you perform at your highest level, regardless of the situation might be. So let's just dive right into it. Let me tell you about the game changer that I have created for you. The Tactical Nutrition and Performance Database is the center of where I am going to be storing all of my knowledge. I'm going to be teaching all of my nutrition programming. I'm going to be storing all of the tools that I use to coach my personal clients with in this database, and I am going to be making it available to you. So if you want to check it out, make sure you head over to tacticaldietitian.com and enter the membership area. Great thing about this is that I am making it 100% absolutely free for anybody who is in the military, served in the military, or who is a military dependent. So head over there, get your free membership. Even if you're not military or a veteran, you can get a very low-cost membership to get all of my nutrition knowledge at a fraction of the price it would take to be one of my one-on-one clients. And I'm going to be inside the database helping you figure out recipes, meal plans. I'm going to walk you through different webinars. And every month, we are going to get together on a live call where you can ask questions. Don't miss out. Take your nutrition programming to the next level and join me inside the Tactical Nutrition and Performance Database. Carbohydrates at the very basic level are a type of macronutrient found inside of certain types of plants. We utilize this macronutrient for energy. In fact, it is our body and our brain's most preferred source of energy, especially for high demand or high output physical activity. So usually when we're talking about carbohydrates in the courses that I teach, we will typically break this macronutrient down into three subcategories. And those are going to be fiber, starch, and sugar. Now, for an athlete, especially a tactical athlete, it's really important to understand when each of these separate subcategories of carbohydrates should be utilized in a nutrition program and when they shouldn't be utilized in a nutrition program. Fiber is typically the carbohydrate category that often gets elevated as being super beneficial for weight maintenance, weight loss, for blood sugar management, for all of these health benefits, digestive health and whatnot. And sugar in all of its forms, glucose, fructose, sucrose is something that tends to really get demonized. Again, I really think this just comes from a lack of understanding about how carbohydrates can be utilized appropriately. Also, having the knowledge that, or understanding that, diet culture often has a tendency to eke its way into performance nutrition. Athletes have a difficult time telling the difference between a diet culture program and a performance nutrition program, particularly for recreational athletes. And sometimes tactical athletes can sort of fall victim to this. So we really want to figure out today, is fiber all it's cracked up to be? And then is sugar also just the horrible nutrient that we've been taught to believe that it is? Okay. Really, for a tactical athlete, both are important. Like I said earlier, the body and the brain use carbohydrates as its preferred source of energy. So what we have to take into consideration when we're trying to decide which carbohydrate to utilize at which time is what our training demand at that time that we're looking to fuel, either currently or in the future, or whether or not we're trying to use that carbohydrate to recover from the physical activity that we've done. We have to kind of use those context cues to figure out which carbohydrate is typically going to be the most appropriate. Now, when I teach the carbohydrate class on the Tactical Nutrition and Performance Database, we really dive deep into this and talk about what's appropriate for peri-workout nutrition and what's appropriate for nutrition at other times throughout the day, taking again into consideration those context cues about what your training is looking like, not only for that day, but maybe over the course of a whole week. We're also looking at individual goals, individual training history, and nutrition history to kind of figure out what's most appropriate. Typically, you're going to want to use possibly those lower fiber, higher sugar carbohydrates to fuel high performance activity. So what does that mean? So it means if we're talking about energy systems, right? ATP, PC, we're talking about the glycolytic system. Typically, those systems are going to be fueled predominantly by carbohydrates. And if you're not taking enough carbohydrates in overall throughout the course of the entire day, and you're not taking in enough carbohydrates pre-training and intra-workout as well, if you're having some of those longer high-demand workouts, then you're really going to be limited in terms of training if you don't have adequate fuel on board, because we know those energy systems are going to need that quick, immediate fuel. And once that reserve tank, once that glycogen has been depleted because of that high demand activity, you're really going to be in a bad way if you don't have a secondary source of carbohydrates coming in. And usually that secondary source is going to be in the form of sugar. We take in sugar because it's quick digesting, it's going to get into our bloodstream quickly, and it's going to continue to push us through that workout. So if we're talking in terms of a tactical athlete, when is the appropriate time to take in more high sugar carbohydrates versus more high fiber carbohydrates? So if we're talking about, let's say, moving under load, maybe doing a long rut march, maybe moving under a significant amount of weight for a decent amount of time, that's going to be a time where you're going to have to take into consideration how much carbohydrate you're going to need. If you're doing, you know, a 3 to 5 mile ruck, you're probably not going to need to take anything in. But if you're doing 6 miles, 12 miles, or even a longer, 15 miles, 20 miles, whatever the case may be, especially under load, you're going to have to plan carbohydrate intake all along that route in order to make sure that you're optimizing your performance. And again, that's going to be because you can only store so much energy, so much glycogen within the muscle tissue before it's depleted, and you're going to have that steady stream of sugar coming in. Now, can the body utilize other forms of stored fuel in the body when that glycogen runs dry? Yeah, absolutely. So you're not always going to be using 100% carbohydrate or glycogen for energy, just like you're not ever going to be using 100% fat oxidation to provide energy for the body. There's always going to be a little play there. But when you are doing that high energy, high demand activity, you are going to be relying predominantly on that carbohydrate, and you're just not going to be able to oxidize fat quickly enough once that carbohydrate storage is depleted to really be able to keep up that kind of training demand. Now, if we're talking about more endurance related activity, more aerobic activity, then that's a little bit of a different story, but we'll go into that in a later discussion about other macronutrients. But what are some other examples where carbohydrate utilization is going to occur in a tactical athlete? Well, let's take a firefighter, for example. If you are a firefighter and you go out on a call, or maybe even you're doing some training, but let's say you're going on a call and you're pulling hose and you're, you know, shooting the ladder up, if you're breaching doors, right? All of those activities are going to likely utilize your high demand energy systems that depend on carbohydrates. So if you don't have those carbohydrates coming in prior to going in on a call, it's going to make it really difficult for you to be able to perform your best. And if you're not performing your best on the job, then that could be definitely be a life or death situation. Police officers, you know, doing a foot chase. But let's not also forget just the amount of dependence that the brain has on glucose to function optimally. When you are depleting your brain of glucose and carbohydrates, then you're also likely to find that a lot of your mentally demanding tasks are going to be much harder as well. So this could translate into things like memory issues, slower reaction times, difficulty making decisions, higher levels of perceived stress. If we, again, want to make sure that whatever physically demanding and mentally demanding task that we're doing to our best abilities, it's really important to have this source of carbohydrates coming in. So let's talk about fiber. So fiber is ideal to really take in throughout the day. Sort of the recommendation for this is going to be right around 35 grams per day for most individuals, which is great. It's actually not that hard of a number to hit if you're taking in a fair amount of vegetables throughout the day, if you have some whole grain carbohydrates throughout your day. These are typically going to be best when someone is potentially looking to optimize blood sugar levels, if you're looking to change body composition, specifically body fat percentage, and you're maybe needing to go into a calorie deficit. Fiber can be really beneficial for helping you stay full, making you feel satisfied, and helping things move out of your digestive tract smoothly. When we look at fiber versus sugar, understanding, again, training demand and individual goals is going to be key here. So why do carbohydrates get such a bad reputation? Well, again, I really think that they're just misunderstood, and I really blame diet culture for this. Really, I think it's because athletes just don't understand how to utilize them appropriately, because there's just a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of gimmicks out there. There's a lot of fad diets out there. And although some of those things might work for the average individual, typically for someone who's trying to maintain a high level of athletic performance, it's just not going to be really reasonable. Carbohydrates are also just cheap, so they're in everything. They're easy to digest and eat. Most of the time, let's be honest, they're delicious. And carbohydrates, they really have a low thermic effect. And if we're focusing primarily on low fiber carbohydrates, not necessarily in conjunction with a high training tempo or even with training at all, then typically most carbohydrates do not have enough bulk to really help us stay satisfied most of the time. And if we're consuming large portions of carbohydrate, this can absolutely lead to some blood sugar dysregulation issues, some insulin dysregulation issues, which along with weight gain can have other negative side effects as well. And if you're going out to eat, typically when you go to a restaurant, one of the things that they'll do is they'll overfeed you carbohydrates, again, because they're cheap and they taste really good. Even if you're going to the grocery store, some of the products that you are buying in the grocery store are much, much too big. Take large bagels, for example. If we're working directly off carbohydrate exchanges, typically you're gonna get around 4 servings of carbohydrate just in one large bagel. Think about the last time you went out for, let's say, a pasta meal. Typically, if you're going to a popular pasta restaurant, you're gonna be looking at about 4 to 5 servings of pasta on your plate. Pizza is another great example. I love pizza, by the way. But again, this is another instance where it can be very easy to overeat carbohydrates, especially if you're not doing anything with those carbohydrates after you consume them. Meaning most of us are typically going to be eating these foods and then just sitting. And what happens to all that energy if we're taking it in and then we're not doing anything to sort of burn that off? Now, does that mean that you have to exercise to burn off your carbohydrates? Absolutely not. But what we have to understand is that carbohydrates should be planned appropriately. And it's not just carbohydrates. You have to remember that carbohydrates contain calories, 4 calories per gram. So anytime you take in an abundance of carbohydrates, you're also taking in an abundance of energy or calories as well. And this is going to contribute to your overall calorie intake over the day and over the week. And typically, this abundance of calories in the average healthy person is what's going to stimulate weight gain over time. So what happens? People overeat their carbohydrates. They overeat calories is really what's happening. And then they go on, let's say, like a keto diet or a paleo diet, or they're doing intermittent fasting or whatever the case may be, and they're cutting out a significant amount of carbohydrates. And they think it's magic. Look at all this weight I lost by cutting out carbohydrates. When in reality, typically when somebody goes from taking in a diet that's maybe high in processed carbohydrates or high in sugar, again, in the absence of utilizing those carbohydrates at the appropriate time for physical activity, to a diet that really focuses on lean proteins, usually a high vegetable intake, and we're moving from a highly processed food diet to more of a whole food diet that is typically also going to be higher in fiber, what's going to happen is you're moving from energy dense to nutrient dense. You're moving from a low volume of food coming in to a higher volume of food filling up the stomach, right? Because French fries take up a lot less room in the gut than an entire bowl of salad and veggies is going to take up in the gut. So inadvertently, you're also probably going to be taking in less calories. So when you're taking in less calories, when you're getting more fiber in your diet, when you're in an inadvertent calorie deficit, or maybe it's intentional, then this is going to create weight loss. And this weight loss can do a couple of things. It can help to improve your biomarkers, so your glucose, your lipids. It can help decrease your blood pressure because you're losing weight, right? Not necessarily because you eliminated carbohydrates, but because you've lost weight, your biomarkers are improving. Many people often attribute these benefits to low carbohydrate diets. You can even see increases in your energy levels throughout the day. Oftentimes, this is due to, again, improving your blood sugar levels, which can help stabilize your energy throughout the day. So it's not really magic. It really makes sense when you dive down into it, and you can see that the real magic behind a lot of these is really just eating a better diet, eliminating some extra calories, and potentially some weight loss. So now, how do we use carbohydrates smartly for performance? So for a performance athlete, the general recommendation is going to be anywhere from 3 grams per kilogram of body weight to 12 grams per kilogram of body weight. So let's say for the 150-pound person, typically they're going to come in somewhere around 70 to 75 kilograms. So on the very low end, this 150-pound person is probably going to net somewhere around 200 to 250 grams of carbohydrate if we're looking at 3 grams per kilogram. Now, these general recommendations, they can vary a lot. And even for somebody who's maybe trying to stimulate some weight loss without sacrificing performance, you might even see them eat below 3 grams per kilogram. Typically for weight loss, I'm not going to want somebody to go below 1.5 grams per kilogram at the very bottom end. Typically at 12 grams per kilogram, this is going to be somebody who's going to be in more of the marathon, triathlon, potentially very lean, multiple training sessions a day type of category. Most individuals are typically going to fall somewhere in between 3 grams to probably about 7 grams per kilogram of day of carbohydrate. Remember that your intake must be consistent with your training demand and goals. If you're in the Tactical Nutrition and Performance database, you'll be able to download those tools on an Excel sheet where it can kind of calculate out that for you based on your activity levels. But just remember that these are guidelines. You have to sort of guess just based on your own knowledge of how physically demanding your training is. You have to kind of guess where you're going to start, and then you can kind of creep up or creep down on that scale of carbohydrate intake based on your body's response, based on what you're trying to work towards. So what are some simple tips you can get started with to maybe start using carbs more appropriately? Well, so the first thing you want to do is you want to make sure that, again, if your goal is to have the fuel you need to train, but also to do physically demanding work at times, then you want to make sure you're incorporating carbohydrates in every single meal. Carbohydrates at every single meal will help you to have that fuel available, allow you to keep that glycogen tank full, that stored energy tank full, so that it's there when you need it. When it comes to fast digesting starches and sugars, typically we want to utilize these during the pre-training and post-training recovery windows. So 30 to 60 grams, 45 minutes or more out from a training window is typically going to put you in the right area so that you can really hit your training with some intent. One of the things I've seen is when individuals try to eliminate too many carbohydrates from their diet and coming into a training block for the day, they really just don't have the energy necessary to meet that training demand. And this can be problematic for a couple of reasons. One, because your training effect is not going to be as great, right? You don't have enough energy on board. You really can't put out as much or what you need to. You maybe can't hit the percentages that you need to, or maybe you're mentally just not in the game because you're low on carbohydrates. So this is really going to limit you in terms of your output and your training returns. So just keep that in mind. Sometimes it's better to get those calories in, those carbohydrates in pre-training to keep that metabolism healthy and to make sure that you're able to train with the amount of intensity that you need to train with. Now, in the intra-training window, making sure that you have some sugar, some fast-digesting, perhaps maltodextrin-based products also can help you when you're training for more than 90 minutes. Or let's say maybe you're on a call and you never really know how long a call, let's say for a firefighter, is really going to go. So sometimes if you need to, having some fast sugars available can be useful. So, keeping goos or blocks handy is always a good idea. Goozer blocks oftentimes are going to be fairly easy to digest for somebody who has trained the gut to utilize these products. This isn't something where, like, you know, you have like a 12-mile road march tomorrow and you're going to stop at the shop and pick up some Goozer, some blocks, and then think you're going to be able to utilize them. You have to take some time to practice with carbohydrate ingestion when you're training. Otherwise, you're going to be in probably a pretty bad way if you try to use these out of gate on a large event. All right, guys, so that was just some quick and dirty on carbohydrates. So like I said, if you want to dive a little bit deeper into it, you want to get a better idea of what you need in terms of your own individual programming, then make sure that you check out the Tactical Nutrition and Performance Database and use the tools that are available there for you. All right, guys, so I hope you got some useful information out of that very, very short episode. I am definitely going to be hitting on the macronutrients, the other macronutrients, in future episodes, so make sure you stay tuned for that.